14th, St. Francis Solano, Confessor, First Order. Francis Solano was born in 1549 at Montilla in the beautiful province of Andalusia, of distinguished and very devout parents. At the special request of his mother, he received the name of Francis in baptism, because she ascribed the fortunate delivery of the child to the intercession of the seraphic founder, to whom she had recommended herself in her distress. The boy grew to be a joy to his parents. While he was pursuing his studies with the Fathers of the Society of Jesus, his modesty, gentleness, and piety merited the esteem of his teachers, as well as the friendship of his fellow students. At the age of 20, he entered the Order of Friars Minor. It was necessary to check his zeal rather than to stimulate it, for he knew no bounds in the practice of the strictest penitential exercises. In everything, he chose the worst for his own use and spent the greater part of the night in prayer. After he completed his studies and was ordained to the priesthood, he evinced tireless zeal for souls. The heroic sacrifices he made during an epidemic were especially admirable. He cared for the corporal and spiritual needs of the sick without any fear of infection. He became afflicted with the malady, but was miraculously restored to health. On every hand, the name of Father Francis was spoken with the greatest reverence, and he was regarded as a saint. Such veneration offended his humility, and he requested his superiors to send him to the missions in Africa. But another field of mission activity was assigned to him. Since the discovery of the New World by Columbus, the sons of St. Francis had been active in preaching the gospel in America. The fearless missionaries advanced farther and farther in their effort to bring the message of salvation to the Indians. In 1589, Father Francis was sent to South America with several members of his order. The provinces of Tucumán, Argentina, Gran Chaco, Bolivia, and Paraguay fell to his lot. He encountered countless hardships. Nevertheless, he began his mission activities with glowing zeal. He approached the Indians so courteously and kindly that they rejoiced at his very appearance. God Almighty assisted him in an extraordinary way. He learned the difficult language of the Indians in a very short time, and he was understood wherever he went, even in those places which he visited for the first time. God also gave him marvelous power over hearts. Once, when he was in the city of La Roya, a horde of thousands of armed Indians approached in order to slay all Europeans and Christianized Indians. Francis went out to meet them. His words at once disarmed them. All understood what he said, although they spoke different languages. They begged him for instructions, and 9,000 were baptized. Francis would lay his mantle on roaring streams and sail across on it to the opposite shore. He placed his cord around the neck of a mad bull that had everybody in a panic and led it away as though it were a lamb. Once, when a swarm of wild locusts came up and hovered like a black cloud over the fields of the poor Indians, threatening to devastate the entire harvest, he commanded that none of them should alight, but that they should depart to the mountains. At once they withdrew. Such miracles and benefits opened to him the hearts of all. They loved and revered him as their common father. During the holy season of Christmas, he assembled his Indians around the crib and taught them to sing the most beautiful hymns to the Christ child. And he himself accompanied them on the violin. He often cheered the sick with song and music. Once he was seen sitting under a tree, playing his beloved violin, and the birds flocked about him and sang along. After Father Francis had labored 12 years among the Indians and had won an uncounted number of heathens to Christendom, he was called to the city of Lima in Peru. There, Christianity had been established for a longer time, and many Spaniards lived there. But much wantonness and immorality prevailed in this large city. One day, led by divine inspiration, St. Francis passed through the town the way the prophet Jonas once did at Nineveh, and proclaimed to the inhabitants the judgments of God if they would not be converted. They were all seized with fear. They called aloud upon God for mercy and desired the holy sacrament of penance. The worst sinners publicly declared their determination to reform. The saint thanked God for these fruits of grace and in devout hymns at her altar gave praise to the Mother of Mercy. He had labored untiringly for the salvation of souls in South America for 20 years when God called him to himself on the feast of his special patron, St. Bonaventure, July 14, 1610. The viceroy and the most distinguished persons of Lima bore the body of the poor friar minor to the grave. Almighty God glorified him after death by many miracles, especially in favor of sick children. Yes, even dead children were restored to life at his grace. Pope Benedict XIII canonized him amid great solemnity in the year 1726. Concerning sacred song. Consider how St. Francis Solano softened the spirit of the Indians and made it receptive for Christian teaching by means of spiritual song. Singing exercises a powerful influence on the mind. Not only the words, but the very melody has its effect. It affects the heart and inclines the mind, according to the character of the melody, to be worldly and sensual, or Christian and devout. When David, who later composed the Psalms for the Israelites to sing, played on his harp for Saul, the evil spirit, who frequently plagued the latter, departed. Your mind, too, can be attuned to what is Christian and devout by sacred song. What kind of song has hitherto given you the greatest pleasure? Consider that the Church has used vocal music in her services from the earliest time in order to glorify God on the one hand and on the other to edify the faithful. Thus the Apostle admonishes us, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16. The Israelites also sang at the command of God, and they were instructed to know their song by heart. Deuteronomy 31:19. The angels sang their song of peace at the birth of Christ, and the blessed will join the choir of heaven in singing God's praise throughout eternity. We should, therefore, have a high regard for the Church's sacred song, encourage it as much as possible, and cheerfully join in the singing ourselves. Do you do that? Consider the qualities that singing must possess so that it may serve the purpose for which it is intended. It must be devout, since it should be a prayer, exalted prayer. But just as prayer said without devotion does not reach the heart of God, so it is with thoughtless singing, no matter how loud we may shout in the process. Moreover, our singing should be intelligible, so that the words may serve to edify. The Apostle says, I will sing with the spirit. I will sing always with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15. In singing, we should also keep in unison with the other voices. Otherwise, it will not foster devotion, but rather disturb it. Whoever cannot sing in harmony should remain silent. Also, whoever believes he has an exceptionally good voice should not try to outsing the other singers. That may easily result from vanity, and then the devil, rather than God, is made to rejoice. If, however, like St. Francis, you employ vocal music for the sole purpose of honoring God, of edifying yourself and your neighbor, you will surely obtain grace and mercy for yourself and many others. Prayer of the Church. O God, who through St. Francis Solano didst lead many of the nations of America to the bosom of thy holy Church, turn away thine anger from us through his intercession and merits, and in thy mercy impart to the nations who still do not know thee the fruits of thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Francis Solano, pray for us.